that's a surprise to you, it's Palm Sunday. So it's Palm Passion Sunday, so it's going to be a full service. And this marks the beginning of what will be Holy Week for us. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. All the events going on, so be very kind to all the church volunteers and the church staff. We have a really busy, busy, busy week ahead of us. And it's not just me. As I say, it's everybody, so be kind, be supportive, and let's journey now with Palm Passion Sunday. If you do not already have a palm branch, let us know. One will be coming to you. So just raise your hand. We got one over here. And what we're going to do is we have a little bit of an opening liturgy, and then we'll process into the sanctuary, and we invite you to lay your palm branch somewhere around the altar rail or the side altar or however you want to decorate the front. It's your church, so palm it up where you want. So with that all being said, let us begin with the words in our bulletin. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets. "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloak on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for redeeming the world through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we entered the holy city in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Bless these branches and those who carry them. Grant us grace to follow our Lord in the way of the cross, so that, joined to his death and resurrection, we enter life with you. Through the same Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of peace. Name of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. trusting God in your endless love for the human race. You sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross.
In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Now we invite our children forward for our children's message. You guys today? Okay, it was just the three of us then. Yeah. Okay, perfect. So I have a question for you today.
Yeah?
I'm trying to cut this piece of paper. Okay? I'm going to ask you which tool I should use for it. Because I have a few here. So my first thought, I'm going to cut that tool with, I'm going to cut the piece of paper with a hammer. You don't think it's going to work?
It's not going to work.
But a hammer is a very useful tool, is it not?
Yeah.
Yes.
Not
you don't think it's going to? Okay. Right. How about, there's another tool I really like. Pair of pliers.
It'd be a really messy cut.
Okay. But it's a good tool, though.
It is.
Okay. How about? How about? Screwdriver.
Yeah.
No? Okay. I'm running out of tools here, people.
Do power saw?
I do not have a power saw in the back. So that would be a really good trick, so I should try and work on that. Okay, well, what should I use?
Maybe scissors.
Oh, scissors.
Yeah.
Scissors will cut the piece of paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what you want to do, depends on what the tool you use.
Wait, the scissors.
Oh, you're going to cut the paper for me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Extra credit to actually cut the paper. Oops. Beautiful.
Yay!
Yay!
Well, today is Palm Sunday, and you're trying to figure out what these tools have to do with anything. So let me explain. What's God doing today in Palm Sunday? Or what's the story of Christ? About how God loves and saves the world, right? And so we need the right tool for that, right? And what does the knight, what tool does the knight do to ride into battle?
A horse.
Yes, not just any horse, but like a war horse, armored and ready to go, right? I don't know if you can see that in the back, but it's a picture of the horse.
His armor.
Right. This is what you use, the tool you use if you're going to ride into battle. What tool does Jesus use today to ride into Jerusalem?
It's a donkey.
Right. In my mind, it's Dominic the donkey. But it's a female, but anyways, that's supposed to be a Christmas joke. Dominic the Christmas? Okay, anyways, a donkey is a sign of peace, right? So a donkey is not going to go to war. And so remember, that's why there's palm branches, and why the donkey, because Jesus saves the world by loving the world. And this is what we're called as followers to do as well. We save the world by love. So let us, on the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for Palm Sunday.
Thank you for Palm Sunday.
May we also love.
May we also love.
Amen.
Amen.
friends, we're going to journey now through Matthew's Gospel, the Passion Narrative. It's going to be a long reading, so I invite you to remain seated at the first part, and then when we come to the last part, I'll ask us all to rise, and we will sing our normal Gospel acclamation. And dispersed throughout this reading, we will be singing hymn 976, Come and See, and the All Creation sings Lou Hemnal. So if you want to mark that now, because we're going to start off singing that, and then as you follow along, we will pause throughout the reading for this hymn and for a little bit of reflection on what we're reading. So the Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, the 26th and 27th chapters.
Glory to you, Lord.
The 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparation for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12 disciples, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And he replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Now the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Look, my betrayer is at hand."
while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will die by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a rebel? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." And then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priest and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At least two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus said to them, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" And they answered, "He deserves death." And then they spat on his face and struck him And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A female servant came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another female servant saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." Again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know this man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to him, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man." At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus has said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed. And he went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since they are blood money." After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. And for this reason, that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, when they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me.
Thank you.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was still on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" And all of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging, Jesus handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him, put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him, mocked him, saying, "Hail the King of the Jews." They spat on him, took the reed, struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robes and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to be crucified. As they went out, a It came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. And they compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. And they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The rebels who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait. Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to the bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, truly this man was God's son. Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made more secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to him, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hard to find words after reading that. But welcome to Holy Week, friends. And it's going to be a week. You know, the tradition is from Monday, Thursday on, we have services. We all start at 7. And we have the Easter Vigil on Saturday, also at 7. And if you ever have questions about that, come talk to me. Really love the vigil, and hope that those who participate in that as well fall in love with it as well. It's truly a month. And the whole week really builds to Easter. And I invite you all to participate in that as much as you care to. It really is a blessing, I think, to go through all of it together with you. And then be gracious to all church staff members the following week, because we are very tired. But each year, I kind of like to hone in on one aspect of the story to really use as a theme throughout the week. And so I'm going to present that theme to you today. I think the story is about new creation. It's not about a fixed-up creation, a repaired creation. It's not, let's paint a new wall on the old creation because we don't want to fix the creation. It's about today I would like to present you in that scene today, because today is a bit of a whiplash day, is it not? We start with the hosannas, and it's glorious, and it's triumphant, and the hosannas go to crucify him really fast. And so what I think is going on is the story is about new creation, but the people want the old creation Messiah. And that's just not going to do. But that is our problem of human existence. We want the old world Messiah to come in and kill all the bad people, and then all the good things will happen. This story is as old as Cain and Abel, right? There's a problem going on. Someone has been unjust to you. What do you do? Well, I'll go kill him. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You'll find redemption through violence. Current events seem to indicate that we still do not learn this lesson. You cannot bring about a just world with unjust means. You cannot fight terrorism with terror. You cannot bring life by killing. And yet, every time we look for a Messiah, we want the old creation Messiah to bring in the new creation world of peace. So Jesus does not show up riding a war horse. He shows up not only on a donkey, but on a colt of a donkey. A baby donkey, never been ridden. That's a sign of peace. That's a sign that the new creation breaks in not through violence, but because of love and self-sacrifice. And this is the invitation for us all. It's always troubling because we always fall into that old world problem. There's a problem in the world. Well, we want to resort to compulsion, force or compulsion. We want to fix the world by making people bend to our will. And yet, the story is about one who bears their burden for the sake of the other. It's that self-sacrificial love that saves the world. So friends, the call, I think, for all of us is to be the person you want the world to be. If you want the world to be more loving, then you be more loving. If you want the world to be more just, then you be more just. If you want to look at the income inequality of the world, distribute your income. Be the change, the self-sacrificial change that you want to see in the world. And I know you will think that's quite unfair for the burden to fall on me. Why should I be the only one in the room loving? Well, I think that is Jesus' prayer in the garden, is it not? Why does it fall on me? Well, it falls on Jesus because it must. It's the only way to defeat sin and death is through love and through life and through resurrection. Friends, we will journey through this more in the weeks to come. But let us remember, the new creation dawns because of a new creation Messiah, not from the regurgitation of the old world's ways. And so, friends, come to the table, the body and
blood of Christ is here, the one giving birth to the new creation. Come and eat and drink. The new creation is for you. And let us go from here as agents, participants of new creation. Amen.
Amen.
Reconciled by God's mercy and sustained by God's presence, let us pray for the world and its needs. O God, you announce words of grace and truth. Give wisdom to all preachers in your church, both globally and locally. Open our hearts to encounter the infinite life you offer in Jesus. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You hold the whole universe. Gather sun and moon, clouds and stars, land and sea, and plants and animals around the cross, so that all creation bears witness to your saving love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your power is sure. Destroy inequity and division in every place and build your beloved community among all people. Guide judges, attorneys, and juries so that they act with justice and fairness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your heart breaks open at our pain. Send healing and vindication to all who, like Jesus, know the sting of betrayal, denial, abuse, or false accusation. Be with those experiencing pain, loss, or difficulty this day, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Mike, Paul, Jill, Bran, Steve, Cassie, Jerry Ann, Kylie. Our Hope Team family, for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your ways show compassion. Let this same mind be in us as we enter Holy Week. Bless those here who will lead worship and tell the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O God, your embrace is eternal. Praise and thanks to you for all the faithful departed who rest in your memory. Deliver us all from death's power and raise us to new life in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, our strength and salvation.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
I invite you to share the peace of Christ with those around you.